Great. Lord, I can't. I never said I could. You can. You always said you would. And so we just invite you here this evening to do your wonderful work, to speak your wonderful words, to stir our hearts, to change our lives. Amen. If you were here this morning, you will know that I'm speaking on continuing the series that we've got on why do we do what we do, and the subject this evening is why do we do prophecy? Why prophecy? And also, if you're here this morning, you'll know that I'm going to preach a completely different sermon to this morning, because as a preacher, you know, if you do it three times in a day, I just get a bit bored because I've kind of heard it before. And so I just want to keep it fresh for me and for you. And if you came this morning, we've got more for you. Prophecy. Why do we do prophecy here at St. Bede's? Why do we have an emphasis on that? One time, Jane and I were planning to move house and, in fact, move area. And we happened to sit down with a middle-aged lady who acted as a kind of spiritual guide and mentor to us. And she looked us straight in the eyes and said, people are more important than places. And she didn't say it in any kind of sense of judgmentalism or malice. It was just pure gentleness and love. And yet, that little simple sentence utterly convicted us that we shouldn't be moving area at that time. It was like the Word of God for us, breaking into our hearts. It changed the course of our lives. We didn't move area. We stayed where we were. And within a relatively short period of time, just over a year, I think, I was catapulted into church leadership as if by accident. And the rest, as they say, is history. This morning at the 9:30 service, I think it was Helen Shannon had a word which we gave out publicly, and the word was vanilla ice cream. Well, that's a weird word, isn't it? What was that about? There was a couple sitting in the congregation, and the wife was there at that moment thinking, I must tell my husband to buy vanilla ice cream, because if I leave him to his own devices, he will buy fancy Häagen-Dazs, you know, whatever stuff, and that simply won't go with the apple crumble. Well, people were ministering to the husband later on. The Lord really spoke to him, and then they felt the Lord speaking through this word, vanilla ice cream, because he'd been sitting there thinking, my life is so dull. And the word of the Lord came to him that it was okay to be vanilla ice cream rather than the fancy stuff, because vanilla ice cream goes with a heck of a lot more. Well, that was the word of the Lord for him. The day I prepared this sermon, I think it was Thursday, I woke up in the morning and I was asking the Lord, I was chatting to the Lord and saying, Lord, what do you want to show me today? Speak to me somehow today. Give me something of your truth. Give me some direction. And as I was praying that, I randomly started to think, thoughts coming across my mind, started to think about the public toilets in the village in which I grew up. I mean, I'm honestly, I am not the sort of guy who goes around thinking about public toilets. It was just a completely random thought. I don't know where that came from. Now, coincidentally, later on that day, I happened to be in the centre of the village in which I grew up, and I pulled up outside the public toilets. Except they weren't there anymore. They've just been demolished, and in their place, they're building a block of flats. And I sensed the Lord speak to me, and it was kind of a play on words, because what he said was, the convenience of the past has to be set aside to accommodate more people. And I sense God speaking to me about St. Bees, about my attitude, my tendency to go for the convenient, the easiest route. And I knew God was speaking to me. Maybe he's speaking to some folk there through public toilets. Well, I taught this morning on prophecy. I'm not going to repeat that, but I hope to kind of carry on from where I left off. In the morning, we looked at the definition of prophecy and the difference between Old Testament and New Testament prophecy. If you're interested in that, get the CD or get the download off the website. We concluded that prophecy essentially, at its root, is all about hearing from God, both for ourselves and for others. And as such, it is the most invasive of all the gifts of the Holy Spirit, like it was for me and Jane with that middle-aged lady. A single sentence can completely change your life. There was one time at St. Bees, actually, I had a word which we gave out from the front, that there would be someone here who God was calling into politics. And, it was just given out. It could have been anybody. And I got up and I was walking down the aisle, just down here, and I suddenly saw this young woman, and I knew it was her. And so I walked up to her, and before I could open my mouth, she said that word, "It's me," and I said, "I know." she has gone off to be a potential parliamentary candidate, and maybe the Lord will lead her into that. A single sentence can change your life. It is such an invasive gift. And we understand that prophecy, as defined by the New Testament, encompasses not some kind of narrow field of, crying out from the mountaintops with the wind in your face. It encompasses all the gifts of revelation that we get in the New Testament. It encompasses what we might call the word of knowledge or the word of wisdom, and perhaps even interpretation of tongues. It is hearing God for ourselves and for others in all the various forms of communication that our Heavenly Father chooses to employ, even speaking to us through public toilets, however weird that might be. Now, I think that hearing God can actually be quite tricky. In our reading, Paul says in verse 9 of 1 Corinthians 13. Did you like that reading, by the way? You usually hear it in weddings, don't you? Did you, because it's all got all that stuff about love in there. And so they think, oh, great, it's got love in there. Let's read it at the wedding. When in fact, it's a passage that is principally about use of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and in particular, the gift of prophecy, and that we should use it in a loving way. Anyway, In that reading, Paul says in verse 9, we know in part and we prophesy in part. Then in verse 12, he says, but we see now as a poor reflection, as in a mirror. Now you need to understand that, of course, first century mirrors are not like the gleaming glass ones that we have in our bathrooms. They were made out of beaten metal. They were rubbish, actually. You know, you looked into a mirror and you thought, well, you know, there's something in there, isn't there? And there's a kind of a vague image of my face, but it's pretty bad. And that's why so many of the men grew beards, because they just couldn't see in their mirrors. You know, oh, cut myself again. Well, let's give up. We see in part, you see. It's like in a really rubbish, beaten bit of metal reflection. And so we have to concede that our hearing of God is very partial. It can be quite vague, and yet, at the same time, it is of incredible value. Incredible value. Yeah, hearing God is not easy. It's very tricky. There's so much background noise. Now, what is it that prevents you from hearing God? Why don't you speak to the person next to you and tell them what you think it is that prevents you from hearing God? You got a minute. If you don't like the question, you can talk about the weather. Okay, has anybody got any good ideas, any thoughts about the things that get in our way when we're trying to hear God? What are the things that get in the way?
When you're not thinking about God, so you're not you don't open the Bible, you don't like think about God.
Then when you're not thinking about God, when you're distracted. Any other ideas of what prevents us from hearing God? Mark. When you've not been filled with the Spirit, yeah. John.
Busyness. I'm too busy.
You're too busy. Too busy, yes. Sit down then. Okay. Great. Don't worry, I know him well. You're not listening hard enough. Okay, I think, as I say, there's a lot of background noise when we're trying to hear God. There's our own agenda. All the stuff that we have on our minds, which are not necessarily on the mind of God. You know, God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so far above are my thoughts than your thoughts. We have our own agenda, our own plans, our own ambitions. So I'm going to go and do this or that. We have our own egos. You know, that we want to be bolstered up in some way. And all that's going on. And then, of course, there are the voices in society that are shouting at us, saying this or that. The voices in our own heads. There are these megaphones that are screaming at us from all directions. And you might say, well, what chance have I got of hearing the still small voice of calm in the tumult of our lives, to hear God whispering. And of course, many, as a result, have just given up. They say, well, there's no chance. I can't hear God. There's too much background noise. But as always, I think there's good advice for us in the Bible. If you'd like to turn to 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 to 22. And it says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject whatever is harmful. So do not put out the Spirit's fire. It's really easy to put out the Spirit's fire, isn't it? A little cynical comment, and out goes the fire. A desire to look good, out goes the Spirit's fire. An innate skepticism in our heart, out goes the Spirit's fire. The thought, I'm not sure I can be bothered. And out goes the Spirit's fire. It's so easy. It's so easy. The flesh hates the Spirit. We find ourselves sometimes at war within ourselves, thinking, I just can't deal with this. And we put the fire out. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Don't give up. Don't say, oh, it's just too hard. There's too much background noise. I'm not going to try. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt, it says. I remember one time I was leading a little group and we were listening to the Lord for words, and one of the people, a lady of indeterminate age, she said, oh, I've got a picture. And I thought, oh, good, good. And then she said, yes, it's a picture of a kind of little white box with a white light switch on it. And I thought, oh, bad. You know, I mean, this is weird. This is rubbish. I do not need some kind of nutty lady with a ridiculous switch. And I was about to say, well, we're probably looking for something that has got some meaning that we can get from it. When another person in the group, and it's only a group of about five, jumped in and said, I know what that means. I looked at him. I've realized, oh my goodness, I've been treating prophecy with contempt, because God can speak through anything. He can speak through public toilets. He can speak through little plastic light switches. And I'd just been scorning it, despising it, pouring contempt in my heart. Let's face it, it'd sound pretty silly. But don't treat prophecies with contempt, and sometimes we will need to sound pretty silly. But sometimes God speaks that way. And then test everything. Test everything. How different from the Old Testament, where we, in the Old Testament, you didn't test the prophets, you obeyed the prophets. But in the New Testament, we test everything. And actually, I think God is giving us, the ordinary person, considerably greater responsibility and authority. We're not being spoon-fed. We need to use our discernment. God is honoring us with the responsibility for testing any words that come our way, that we need to test them and discern them. I heard a story about a leader of a church, and he had a visit to his church by a well-known prophetic man who gave out these prophecies. And during the visit, the prophet picked out a member of staff. And he prophesied over this man that this man was in terrible sin and he needed to repent and be disciplined. And after the meeting, the church leader questioned his member of staff, and he denied it. He said, you know, it just wasn't true. It wasn't correct. But possibly because this thing had been done so publicly, the church leader felt that he had no choice but to dismiss the staff member, despite there being no evidence of any wrongdoing, is a terrible injustice. Now, he failed to realize that you need to test everything. It was completely wrong for such a prophecy to be done in public in the first place, because in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 3, it says, everyone who prophesies speaks to men for their strengthening, encouragement, and comfort. So this prophecy fell at the first hurdle, didn't it? And then the Bible says, test everything, hold on to what is good, reject whatever is harmful. And he failed to do that. That's an awful thing. We need to take responsibility for not only listening to God for words, but listening to God for discernment when we are given words. We see in part. We get it wrong. So we need to take this seriously. Otherwise, we will never dare to get involved in the ministry of prophecy, because we'll always be fearful of getting something wrong, when actually we're encouraged to step out, and then when we've stepped out, to test everything. Now, I want to get on to some practical stuff, so I'm just going to skip a couple of pages. We can do that next time. I should have done that at 11:30. I preached two sermons the same this morning. I should have done three different sermons, couldn't I? Then you could have stayed here all day. So how does it work? How do we apply this gift to our lives? How do we take those faltering steps? Well, back to our reading. 1 Corinthians 13 says, if I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. That's an interesting phrase. And can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge. In Job 11, a question is asked. Can you fathom the mysteries of God? And it's a rhetorical question, because the answer is no. The answer is clearly no. You cannot fathom the mysteries of God. So in prophecy, what we are essentially talking about is doing something that is utterly impossible. Fathoming mysteries, knowing the unknown, even the unknowable. Now, there's a paradox here. How can I know the unknowable? How can I fathom mysteries? And it's often, as a result, very unusual and very surprising and sometimes a little bit weird, maybe like a word through a public toilet or a light switch. And in a sense, you'd almost expect it to be like that, wouldn't you? You may have heard me tell a story that one time I was at New Wine, and helping care for some kids in the afternoon, and suddenly I came across ill. I felt so sick and thought I was going to vomit. And I said to another responsible adult there, you know, I'm sorry, I just feel so ill. Can you care for the kids? Because I just need to go and lie down. Well, I went down and lay down, and instantly I went to sleep. And I slept for 10 minutes, and then I woke up and I was fine. But in that period of 10 minutes, I had had a vivid dream. In my dream, there had been a man that I had to meet, and I had a message for him. I did not know the man. It was a completely, I didn't recognize his face in the dream or anything. Never seen him in my life before, but he was in my dream. So anyway, didn't think any more of it. Went off to the evening meeting at New Wine. Sitting, minding my own business. And then, blow me, the man in my dream came and sat in the row straight in front of me. I mean, how spooky is that? Well, of course, you know, what do you do? Because in my dream, I had been given a message for this man. So I went and spoke to the section leader of the ministry team and told him the situation. Because the message that I had to give him was not a particularly nice message. It was, get out and shut up. Well, I remember it because normally, in a kind of stroppy sort of way, you say shut up and get out, don't you? But it wasn't that. It was get out and shut up. Well, the ministry team leader, he was very gracious to me, and he said, well, you know, maybe you should give it to this man. So I went up to the man with slightly fear and trepidation, and then it got worse because I saw his badge. And on his badge it said, speaker. I thought, oh no, you know what I do now. But I thought, well, I've got to give this message to this man. So I gave him the message. And, you know, he sensed that the Lord was saying to him that he had to get out and do the stuff rather than just speaking about it. And that was the word of God to him. God speaks, and we can fathom mysteries and knowledge, and sometimes it's really weird. I believe that God wants to communicate directly with us. There is no reluctance on his part. He is so gracious. In fact, I believe that he is wanting to communicate with us a lot of the time. It's just we have got the headphones of our lives on at full volume, and we crowd him out. But if we dare to stop for a moment and listen, I believe he wants to speak to us. And if he speaks to us, then incredible things can come from it. I remember when I first arrived at St. Bees, you know, it was a big job. And I'd only led a small church before. John Coles, I came as John Coles' associate, and John was incredibly gracious to me, because within a few months I was leading practically everything, and within a year I'd taken over the leadership of the whole church. Thank you, John. And I was drowning, actually. I was just finding it so difficult with my lack of experience to cope. And one time we had this prophetess come to St. Barnabas called Doreen. She had a strange way of hearing from the Lord. What she would do was get chapter and verse from the Bible. So, you know, Ecclesiastes 15:3 or something. She didn't know what it said. She would just give a chapter and verse, and that was it. Well, she was doing this, and she got up and she said, well, I have this picture, and it's a picture of a juggler, and the juggler is on a monocycle, on a tightrope, and he's juggling people. Now, you need to understand, when I came to St. Barnabas, I was given a good luck card by a very prophetic guy. And on the card, there was a picture of a clown on a monocycle on a tightrope juggling. So she had my attention at this point. She had my attention, because I knew this picture. And then she said, Numbers 11:14, and sat down. Well, we all dived for our Bibles. You know, what is Numbers 11:14? Do you know? No, of course you don't know. It's in Numbers, for heaven's sake. Nobody reads Numbers. And Numbers 11:14 says, I cannot carry all these people by myself. The burden of them is too heavy. Bang! It was like the word of God for me, and actually for the church. And as a direct result of that prophetic word, we went on to employ a church manager. So Mike Van Verdelis, if you knew where your job came from, it came from a prophetic word. The question is, are we listening? Are we prepared to pay the cost of making a fool of ourselves, because it might mean that? Especially if we get it wrong, and we will get it wrong from time to time. And sometimes we'll make a fool of ourselves even when we get it right. Generally, I find that God speaks to me very quickly. The words are likely to come in a flash, rather than being mulled over in my mind. If I start mulling it over in my mind gets in the way. And there becomes too much of me in it. I find rather the words that are authentically from God are like butterflies through my brain. You know, I'm barely aware of them, and just occasionally I snatch them out of thin air. How does that happen? Well, there is an interesting passage that has been an incredibly precious thing that God has given us, that has given us an inside track, an insight on how this works with the prophetic. And it so happens it also appears in Numbers, which we never read. The context is, it's from Numbers 12, the context is that Aaron, who was the brother of Moses, and Miriam, who was the sister of Moses, were complaining to God and saying, you know, why are you favoring Moses all the time? You know, what about us? And God's response to them in their rebellion is a really interesting insight on how the prophetic works. Numbers 12, verses 6 to 8. When a prophet of the Lord is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams. But this is not true of my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. So from this, we can extract what is normal for prophets and what is exceptional, which is more the preserve of Moses and the really highly anointed prophet. So the normal prophets, you know, which might be us, they see visions or they have dreams. They're not face to face. It is unclear, and they hear things in riddles. Specific to Moses is seeing things face to face, clearly, not in riddles, and seeing the form of the Lord. So let's just very quickly go through these, and then we're going to have a go. I imagined a few people would jump up and run for the door at that moment, but then we're going to have a go and see what happens. Visions, we sometimes call pictures in our minds. The majority of those pictures will be in your mind's eye. They will be visual imagination. Just occasionally, a vision will replace your normal sight. That is exceptional. It's not the norm. The majority of the time, it is just in your mind's eye. Dreams. I think dreams very often can be daydreams. They're just thoughts. They're just things that come to mind. We read in John's Gospel about abiding in the Lord, just waiting on the Lord, just spending our time in the presence of God. And when we do that, thoughts come to mind, daydreams. Sometimes we think, oh, I'm getting distracted. But just occasionally, those distractions are actually what God is speaking to you about. Occasionally, they are actual dreams. And I get a few actual dreams from the Lord, and I wake up and I write them down. It's probably because I eat too much cheese. But just occasionally, they are from the Lord. I dream about St. Barnabas. You might think that is sad. I think it's the Lord speaking to me about St. Barnabas. Sometimes the Lord wakes me up with a dream about one of you. Watch out. So they're dreams. Then not face to face and unclear things. This is similar to what Paul is saying in 1 Corinthians 13. A poor reflection, as in a mirror. It's unclear. It's obscure. You know, don't worry if you don't think you hear from God very clearly. Because that's how it's meant to be. Butterflies through the mind. And then riddles, a play on words. Like the public toilets, the convenience of the past. Isn't that an interesting thing? Where we find that time and time again, where we get kind of little riddles. Why does God speak in riddles? Well, I don't know, but I'm sure there's a reason, and we can have another sermon on that. And then for a few people with a very finely honed prophetic gift, then God maybe speaks to them as if face to face, clearly, not in riddles, and they see the form of the Lord. Maybe the Lord has spoken to you audibly. Who has heard the voice of God audibly in their lives? Okay, just three of us? It's a very unusual thing. It would be very surprising if any of us heard the audible voice of God more than once or twice in our entire lives. So it's not a kind of normal thing. But just occasionally, God speaks in that very, very clear way. Of course, with clarity comes responsibility. And sometimes it is the mercy of God that he speaks to us unclearly, because he knows that we're rebellious. And if he spoke clearly, then a judgment would come on us, wouldn't it? That maybe that's why he speaks in riddles. Maybe that's the answer. I just answered that question. Well, all I've been talking about here is really having a relationship with God. Speaking with God. So I was saying this morning, God is not mute. Our conversation with God should not be one way. He's alive. He speaks back to us. He has a mind of his own, and he wants a part of our lives. And if you want a relationship with God, don't settle for second best. When Jesus died, the veil was torn. We were invited into the very presence of God. And we can live in that place. We can live that life. We can hear God for ourselves and for others. And it's a wonderful thing. This incredible gift of prophecy, the most precious of all the gifts of the Spirit, because it is us hearing God speak to us, his children.